Critical thinking is a persistent effort to examine any belief or supposed form of knowledge in the light of the evidence that supports it and the further conclusions to which it tends. Critical mass is the point at which a reaction becomes self-sustaining.
I'm Winston Crutchfield, your host for the Critical Mass Podcast. We're back into the school year and back on track for the podcasting season. I hope to bring you some great interviews, scintillating roundtables, riveting audio drama, and good old-fashioned pointless ranting in the weeks in front of us. I do hope you tune in for your favorite bits, and maybe even stick around for some of the other in hopes of catching a nugget of pure radioactive entertainment. Now, I have bearded the fire-breathing Matt Hawes in his lair after his most recent raid on Comicden Community, and squeezed him until he agreed to speak about his trip to Chicago. But first, I've got a few updates about critical press media in general, so let's get these out of the way before proceeding to the witty banter. Number one, the deadlines for the benefit book projects are being extended through October because, frankly, we need more participation to fill the page count with original material. Organizing these projects is a personal joy of mine, but frankly, it's more art than science, and I suspect that the end of summer and the beginning of the school year will get people back into the writing flow. I've been hoping to hear from several authors, you know who you are, and I've been informed that the guidelines for submission could stand some clarification as well. So here we go. Book one is titled Miracles, and should showcase a miracle as an essential element of the story. A miracle is defined as a supernatural occurrence that can only be attributed to God and serves to showcase an aspect of God's character. Book 2 is titled Forerunner and must include a character who acts on behalf of another and with their authority. Some modern examples include paramedics who act on behalf of the doctors to whom they transport patients, bodyguards, or ambassadors. The classic example from the Bible is John the Baptist. Example stories for both of these collections will be posted in the library before the next podcast drops. All right, number two. Atomic Earth version 1 is officially out of print. My thanks to all of you who have made this game such a great experience for me with valuable feedback and, you know, purchasing it and stuff. Version 2 of the board game is currently under development, but in the meantime, you can expect to see some supporting material popping up, including short stories and swag. Stay tuned for more information and send me an email to get in on the ground floor for playtesting. Now, number 3, the Living Universe Project is off the ground, but needs more people to help it get a running start. If you are interested in developing collaborative fiction in a friendly environment, head over to http://livinguniverseproject.com and poke around a bit. There are two settings in progress on the site, the space opera-themed Infinite Stars and the superheroic Epoch settings. I'm working out the legalese to get Atomic Earth established for fanfic contributions, and there is more to come. Finally, Critical Press Media itself is opening up its electronic publication doors to creators of all stripes. If you are interested in selling your work as a self-published author, or even just looking for additional distribution and advertising opportunities, send me an email, and we'll work out the best way to get you online on the Critical Press Media site. Well, enough of that. You want to know what's been happening in Chicago, right? So, without further delay, roll tape.
Alright, I'm in Comics Unlimited today with artist, entrepreneur, co-host of The Happy Show, and superhero in an alternate dimension, Matt Hawes. How's it going, man?
Oh, fine. How's it going with
you? Oh, you know what? The store's been closed all weekend. Where you been?
I've been to the Chicago Comic-Con of 2011 Wizard World.
Tell me about it.
Oh, it was a fun show this year. I got to get the autographs from the Willy Wonka kids, all five of the surviving kids.
That's some rough filming.
Yeah. Wait a minute now. Don't get confused. It's not Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Oh,
see,
okay.
That's the key there. It's not the Tim Burton film. It's the good one. with Gene Wilder.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And the problem is now I got to figure out, because actually when I say surviving, they're all, so far they're all surviving right now. There was only five of them to begin with. But, And now it goes with my Oompa Loompa up on the wall. And the thing is now I'm depressed because I may never get Gene Wilder's autograph. I don't think he does these kind of shows.
No. Well, he's getting old, so.
But that's another reason to be depressed. I'm like, I may never get a chance. But it had a lot of good media guests. Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future.
Sure.
Bruce Campbell. But one thing I got to say, though, is like with Bruce Campbell, nothing against him, but these people at the shows and stuff now, a lot of the celebrities, they won't let you take pictures of them.
Oh.
Without paying.
Right.
And some of them, like in his case, just like last year they did with Adam West and Shatner, you could take a picture, or you could pay to get a picture that they professionally took. You could even take a picture no matter what other than a professional picture.
Right.
But not all of the people were like that. Like, I got the picture with the kids, the Wonka kids. So.
Right.
And Peter Tork of the Monkees. So,
oh, that's cool.
Well, last year I got Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, so I'm 1 degree of separation from the Beatles. Because they party with the Beatles in the 60s.
All right, yeah.
But the show, and as far as merchandise and artists and writers, the bad thing about Wizard now, even though it's a great show, I still have fun, and it's still every bit as crowded, but they torked off, no pun intended with the monkey, they torked off the publishers, the major publishers. I don't know. Do you know about that?
No, tell me.
Okay, well, this happened in 2008, I think, is when it started.
Okay.
They were supposed to be putting on a L.A. show. They were trying to compete, I guess, with San Diego Comic-Con, which is silly to begin with, because San Diego...
San Diego is not the Midwest.
Right.
This is Wizard Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Wizard Magazine?
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
Wizard Magazine was formerly Wizard Magazine.
Formerly Wizard Magazine.
And which might also tie into some of this other stuff, but basically what happened is Wizard was going to try the L.A. show.
Right.
And I think they were doing it too close to San Diego, but I guess basic sales weren't where they thought it would be, pre-sales or whatever, so they decided to cancel the show. Well, there was a slight problem because DC, Dark Horse, Marvel Image, and a few other publishers had already paid to set up their talent in the hotels. And they wanted reimbursement for that. And Wizard didn't reimburse them.
Right.
See, Wizard has this thing where I guess they kind of forget they didn't create the publishers. The publishers don't create them. And I know that with their magazine over the years, too. But anyway, with the show, what happened is, and they also forget it's not 1993. When they were at their, probably their height. Because at one time, Wizard did sell as much, issue of Wizard saw as much as the most popular comic book, much. But those days are gone. But anyway, at the show, they like I said, they kind of torqued off the publishers.
Mm-hmm.
So before the 2008, the next show, I guess, was Chicago.
Right.
And before the 2008 show at Chicago, like I think a week or so, they boycotted it, and they didn't show up. In fact, I found out, I didn't go that year to the show. My friend went to that show, and because there was 2 years I didn't go in probably 10 years,
Right.
And that was one of those years. And when he came back, he told me, he says, there was no publishers there. See, this was at the spur of the moment. I mean, nobody, I think it blindsided Wizard, too.
Right.
And I found out by going on message board, that's where I got the whole scoop,
Right.
And so what happened is the next year, which last year, 2009 show with the boycott. Okay, 2010 and then this year, they decided to concentrate more on media guests.
Okay.
So, where publishers normally would be, have you ever been to Chicago?
I can't remember. No, I have never been.
Okay.
Taking off? All right.
Bye, Matt.
Ladies and gentlemen, say goodbye to Matt Billman, livingwithzombies.net.
Hey. I'm a zombie in that book.
He's not kidding either. It's awesome.
But what happened is, 2009 and 2010, or 2010, 2011. Wait, I'll get these years straight.
They all run together.
This year and last year.
All right.
Okay. If you're not watching this a year, or listening to this in the year 2015. but this year and last year, they concentrate more heavily on media guests, like celebrities, like, you know, from TV show movies and such, because they had to have something to put in that front half. Basically, the way Wizard World Chicago is sectioned out is like the top, or the front of the show is, it used to be publishers.
All right.
Then the middle, more than the middle, but basically a big area after that is dealers, you know, the buying comics, toys, all that.
Right.
Then in the back of that is Artist Alley, which is where the writers and comic book artists will, that aren't there by the publisher, will okay. set up.
Independent guys?
Yeah, mostly independent, or sometimes it will be a professional artist for Marvel or DC, but they aren't currently doing art for them.
Okay.
And so they're setting up on their own expense.
Okay.
So and then there's other areas to convention, like panel rooms and all that, where they have, like, you know, the auditorium-type rooms where they have panel discussions. Mm-hmm. There was some of that this year with the celebrities, but usually, in the past, with the publishers, it used to be where you would go hear Joe Quesada, or Dan DiDio, however you say his name, you hear him talk about what's going on with the books and stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to attend those panels, but the last few years it's more been a Q&A with the celebrities.
Okay, so what events did you go attend this year?
Actually, I was more down and dirty about the dealing.
Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't go to any panel discussions because, first of all, I didn't know what take to get in those rooms. It's a little harder to get in a room with Bruce Campbell than it is to get in a room with Joe Quesada.
Right.
So I usually with the publisher panels, it was, you know, fairly easy. So I bypassed that. But I did some of those celebrity. I only did those celebrity autographs I mentioned, Peter Tork and the Willy Wonka kids. But I still got some camera, you know, some views on camera of the different stars. Which is funny because you're not, once again, you're not supposed to take of certain stars. You're not supposed to take a Pedro.
Right.
And then this area for Bruce Campbell where it says no cameras allowed.
Oh, yeah.
But I wasn't over that mark.
Oh, right.
But, you know, I screwed up anyway because my button didn't actually hit the record.
So you almost got a picture of Bruce Campbell.
Almost got a picture of Bruce Campbell. But I did get one of the volunteers to give me an evil eye, like, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that.
Well, you know what? In defense of the celebrities, a lot of that isn't them. A lot of it's set up by their agents.
Oh, yeah, I'm not blaming the celebrities at all. In fact, I think it's also maybe Wizard, too, the agents and the Wizard.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Because Wizard, the way I understand, especially now that it's more celebrity-heavy, I think they get a cut. Which also is why I think celebrities have increased. Like, when I went in 2007. Now I'm going to try to get my years straight. 2007, and then I went in 2010, you know, but 2008 and 2009 were the years I didn't go, right? It went from $20 an autograph on average. Now each celebrity determines their own amount, but even still they do. But it went from $20 on average. No such thing as paying for a photo op. You could ask them, can I take a picture? They'd be like, yes, no problem. Almost any of the celebrities would say yes.
Right.
And that was back then. Now, starting with, I guess last year or the year before, it's an average of $40 an autograph. There's some cheaper, but that's the average. And they usually want like $20 or $30 if you want a picture with them.
Right.
So like Peter Tork, he wanted a $30 fee to take a picture with him, and I was like, you know what? I got you from a distance without me by your side. Good enough.
Good enough.
You know, I got your autograph. Don't feel, you know. But anyway, so yeah, that's. But after that, I went to the dealers and got me a lot of good stock from the shop. A lot of times with these shows, if people have never been to the shows, any of the big conventions before, and this is true of any convention of any size, really. Don't buy the first thing you see unless you're sure it's a really great deal.
All right.
Especially when it is a big convention because there's so many dealers that chances are if it's a common enough item, you'll find it's cheaper somewhere else.
Right.
Not always, but you can. Plus, dealers are you know, that's set up there, they expect people to barter with them, and so do barter with them. I always barter with them. You know, even with the deal, but you know, my friend's son, he said, I actually got him on video talking about how he was bummed out because he paid for this one action figure. I'm trying to remember. I think it was like Deathstroke or somebody.
Right.
But Taskmaster. He paid like $10 or don't pay $20 for it, and then found for $10.
Did they already laid down the revenue?
They also found Hawkman, or Hawkeye. I'll get to see, I'm not getting any
experience. Those Hawk people.
Yeah, he got Hawkeye for $5 when it was booking for $10 or $15, so I can always say it balances out. But,
sure.
But that's the thing about the shows. A lot of people who've never been to the show will get excited, and they'll buy and spend all their money on the first night and spend all the, the first items they see. And if it's a multi-day show or whatever, if there's several days to it, the last day is the best day for bargains.
Okay.
Of course, you are taking the risk that the best items are going to be
gone.
So you've got to weigh that.
So the Wizard Chicago Comic Con or Chicago Wizard Comic Con or
it's technically, I guess now it's called Wizard World Chicago Comic Con. I guess it's all name or. Well, here's the thing is, it used to just be called Wizard World. Actually,
right.
Let me go further back. Before Wizard bought it, it was the Chicago Comic Con.
Okay.
Wizard bought it in the mid-late 90s. I forget the exact year.
Right.
Then also, Then it became Wizard World, period.
Right.
Well, a lot of people don't know what the heck Wizard World is unless they're really into comics enough. And I noticed it was about 2 years ago, about the time that whole thing happened that I was telling about with the publishers. That was when Wizard decided to go back to calling it the Chicago Comic Con. Coincidentally, after San Diego's been getting all this media publicity, and all. And I think it was a smart move. They should have never changed it.
Changed the name, yeah.
They changed it, I guess, just because their corporate name is Wizard. But it was silly because people knew it was the Chicago Comic Con.
Yeah, why mess with that? So they had celebrity appearances there, and they were doing some panels.
Yeah. There was some artists. I didn't see too many of the big name artists, but there was Greg Horn and Mike Grill. Mike Grill was more of a older artist that people know from Green Arrow and Legion of Superheroes and such like that. But again, that's kind of a downside now. If you're if you're going there to see some of the big name artists, writers, there are some, but a lot of those artists and writers that come to these shows are paid for by the publisher.
Right.
So like C2E2, which is held earlier in the year in Chicago,
right.
It's more of a creator show because they're getting the creators there, and the publishers, they haven't made the publishers mad yet, so.
Right.
But,
and then there's the dealer's rooms, and and you were mostly there to meet people and pick up stock, huh?
Yeah, the main thing is to pick up stock for my shop.
Right.
And I did a little different tack this year than I've done some years. Yeah.
Please, tell us your secrets.
Well, normally what I like to do is pick up some big special books that people around this area may not have seen as often.
Okay.
Like 1 year I picked up the first appearance of Iron Man, X-Men number 1, and I'm trying to think what else, like Wolverine's first appearance, I think, along with some other books, the time. And that's cool, but at the same time, now, I'm going there for a different reason than the average person.
Right. You're going as a retailer.
A retailer. So I'm buying something. I'm going there to buy stock that I can resell at my shop at what I hope is a reasonable price. I don't want to get it at a price that I have to market too high.
But but your business is to make a profit. I mean,
right.
That's,
right.
So, yeah,
and so,
obviously.
And so when I'm dealing with these big books like I'm talking about, I'm not going to get from another dealer that big of a break.
Right.
Because obviously they're a dealer too. They're there to make money, but
right.
I might be able to get enough of a break. Like you almost get the books for the prestige, those expensive books.
Right.
And normally, I think I concentrate too much on bringing back the prestige books. And I thought, I really should concentrate more on I do really well with dollar books at my shop, so I should concentrate on books that I can put out for a dollar that are good solid books.
And that move.
Yeah, that move. And a lot of times here at the shop for. Just the economic reality of things. I usually pick up things in bulk, so I have flexibility in pricing. And not that I don't pick up individual items, but as a rule, it's a bulk collection. That's how I can keep the dollar books going and all that.
Sure.
So for that reason, whenever I'm at the show, like I said, I also try to get bulk deals with them and go through them. And the benefit there is that. Like, say somebody brought something off the street, and I'm buying a bulk collection, I'll buy the good with the bad.
Yeah.
Right? And it'll have, somebody has 3,000 books, I'll offer them a price. If we both agree on it, I'll take all 3,000.
Sure.
But out of the average collection, of course, there's going to be a good chunk that is going to be quarter book or whatever. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to use. When I go to these shows, I'm hand-picking every single book, you know, that I'm going to choose. So, but well, the good thing, I'm saying this is actually a good thing though, okay. Because I can still, like, I'll ask Diller how much to buy in the box, right?
Right.
And by the way, I got to show anybody can do this. You don't have to be a Diller to do this. But trade secret now.
Don't worry, we won't tell anyone.
But yeah, ask a Diller there how much I get for the box, and a lot of times I already market the stuff out because they're blowing stuff out.
Right.
And then I get to, you know, get my empty box and then fill it up, you know. With,
right.
Well, I'm the one, you know, I don't take any issues I don't think I can use.
Right.
So every single book I'll pretty much is something I think will move or else I wouldn't have picked it up.
Right.
And if they didn't have it, I wouldn't buy, you know, or, right. You know, what have you.
So what are some of the, what kind of good things did you get this trip? I know you just put a whole bunch of stuff up on your eBay store, right?
Well, they did right before the trip.
Okay.
Right before the trip, that's helped to raise some extra funds for the trip.
Right.
And then I will be putting some stuff off up there soon in the next week or two.
All right.
My priority right now is to go through the books I did pick up.
Right.
Get them taped off. Because a lot of these books, a lot of times, it depends on the dealer, but a lot of the books I got were in you know, certain bins where they didn't have bags or boards, so I had to rebag and board all of it.
Right.
But I actually got a lot of good stock that will be good dollar stock. Some stuff will be more than that. Admittedly, I didn't pick anything that would be quarter stuff.
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose.
So what'd you pick up that just stands out in your mind?
Okay, well, I got X-Men, Green Lantern, Punisher, all the popular characters,
sure.
Basically. You know,
sure.
As far as key issues and stuff like that, so I didn't really go that route this time so
okay.
much.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, so I can't say I brought back, you know, the first appearance of Spider-Man or nothing.
Right.
I did get some nice Silver Age that actually were in, you know, decent enough price box. I thought, hey, I could have flexibility here in the way I price it. And I picked up some 60s Justice Leagues, some Ghost Riders, early Ghost Riders, I'm trying to think what else.
Sweet.
You know, but nothing, you know, we're not talking like any $1,000 book
right.
or nothing.
Yeah.
Again, I've done that in the past. It's just this time around I was...
Yeah.
Especially, yeah. After,
so, is this what you normally go to these shows for, as a retailer to pick up stock to find these hard to?
Yeah, and see that's position that I'm in is that it's both a pleasure and business trip, but it's always got to be business too, you know.
Right.
And I love it though because I love comics, and so even if I'm not buying them to read them myself, it's just fun going through them. I mean, it just. Yeah. It sounds so funny, but going through a box, like if I have a shop, here at the shop, if I have a box of stuff that I don't really care for that I'm trying to blow out,
sure.
It's actually more drudge work going through it than it is going through stuff I like, even if I'm not reading stuff.
You're not reading.
I'm just going through it. It's just something about it, but...
You know, it's a part of our culture. It's a part of our history.
Right.
You know,
right.
it's a part of our fan mentality just to be near this stuff.
Right. And,
you know, so...
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And see, that's the thing I do. I love the business. I love what I do with the shop and everything else. So to me, even when it's work related, it's fun because that's I guess the fun part about working in comics. You know?
There you go.
I mean, I do know some dealers who get burnt out or whatever, but not me. I mean, I get burnt out on aspects that don't actually have to do with the comic books themselves. It just has to do with any kind of business.
Right.
But that has nothing to do with the comic books. You know, the comic books I love as much as I ever loved. You know. And,
yeah.
And so it's fun for me to go there and look at things and to think that this is a trip I can write off too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like because it's all it almost seems like it's too good to be true that it's all legitimate, you know, because it's all for resale. But
it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
All right, well, Matt, I appreciate you taking some time to talk to you. Sounds like you had a blast. I'm sure if we had more time, we could stay and carry on for another hour or two. But
yeah, I forgot to mention it was just in Chicago, just as a small thing. I got to see the 25-foot Marilyn Monroe statue on Michigan Avenue. And no, I can't pose underneath her dress. You know, it's the classic one where she's got the...
And we're all proud of you for that.
Because everyone else was. You know, the scene was the 50, or the 5-year itch, or whatever the...
7-year itch.
7 years. Yep. Yeah, see, my math is off. No, so here. But, you know, the famous scene of her, with the...
Oh, yeah. With the, yeah.
But it is cool. But, yeah.
That's awesome. All right, we'll take it easy, man.
Okay.
And look for Comics Unlimited online, comicsunlimited.biz, I think is your regular
biz
regular
and,
website.
And that either one will take it to the same
all
website.
Right. And I'll put some links in there to our silent guest, Matt Billman, who ducked out as soon as the mic turned on.
Oh, I shouldn't.
To livingwithzombies.net, and as soon as we can get some product up, you've got some stuff on there now, so I'll put a link to your eBay store.
Okay, well, I will have some stuff up there.
Oh, I will have.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. But also, I should mention I'm on Facebook as Comics Unlimited too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I got a separate. I got a personal Facebook, but I also got a
fan
shop.
Page.
Yeah, for the business there.
Sweet. Yeah. All right, we're out.
All right, thanks.
Email at mindspike@criticalpressmedia.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.